This is Crossroads with Terry Mattingly, a Rational Sheep podcast.
Ruth Graham has written a very interesting story in the New York Times. In a first among Christians, young men are more religious than young women. Is that what the story is really about? Greetings and welcome to Crossroads with Terry Mattingly. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Terry is Senior Fellow on Communications and Culture at St. Constantine College in Houston, Texas. He writes Rational Sheep, a Substack newsletter for faith and mass media. He's author of the National On Religion column for the Andrews McMeel Universal Syndicate, and for two decades, he led the GetReligion.org website. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
So young men are the lead in this New York Times story, but what is the story actually about?
It's really two stories, and you can tell which one the writers and editors feel they have the best information about. Why the men are coming to church is the matter of testimonies of pastors and a couple of the young men, and they talk about men are religious when it comes to doctrine and believing hard truths, etc. And then the entire second half of the story is actually about women's ordination and about young women leaving the church, which is the podcast we did a couple of weeks ago, you know, that had a headline on it on my own website with Modern Progressive Young Women Flee the Pews. And where these women are going is a really important question, but it's a question that only gets one sentence, really, in the New York Times piece. And it really is, in many ways, the most interesting question of all. And I sum things up. I was taking some notes after reading the story and basing it on my own experience and all the stuff I've read and conversations with Ryan Berg, the guy who's famous for making his charts of all this. And sure enough, he's quoted in the New York Times piece saying that trying to imagine a world in which men are more religious than women is, you know, something that's just flipping demographers and political scientists and other experts out. Well, the larger story is that single women are much less religious than married women. And single women perhaps are less religious than single women who really want to be married and have a high value on marriage and family. And in that case, I would say that perfectly lines up with what we've known for several decades now, which is that young men who are happy being single and don't necessarily want to get married, not many of them are going to church. Whereas the young men who are seeking marriage and family, they're the ones who are most likely to want to go to church. So I would argue that the subject that's hiding inside this New York Times story is the growing divide in American life on marriage. When are you supposed to get married? What are you supposed to do before you get married? How do you best prepare for marriage? And that the questions about that topic probably apply to young men and young women alike. And that would fit my own experience in the church in recent years as well.
So should the headline read, "For the first time among Christians, young women are less religious than young men," rather than "men more religious than young women"?
Well, yes, I think that's a good way of stating it. At the same time, I do think there are some conditions in our culture right now that are leaving lots of young men lonely and unfulfilled. And I bet you a dollar that if you had checked into the young men at this church in Waco that the New York Times reporter chose to focus on, and that's a Ballad thing, you've got it right next to Baylor. Although knowing Baylor as well as I do, I would stress that Baylor is pretty much a left of center Baptist institution at this point, and one that frankly leans pretty heavily toward kind of the female demographic success story sort of view of life. Baylor is not a conservative Baptist institution, and the Truett Seminary there is certainly not a conservative evangelical institution. Both Baylor and the seminary are aggressively progressive. And I don't really see that reflected. The image of Baylor in this story is, wow, all of this is happening right next door to this really conservative Baptist institution. And that is a layer of complexity that seems lost in the story altogether. I'll bet that if you went to these churches and you focused on men, single men between the ages of like 25 and 35, now men who've been out of college for a while, men who are frankly trying to get their lives together, I'll bet that if you looked at those young men, you'd find a very unique set of parameters of why they're coming to the church and what's driving them. And many of them are frankly trying to get their lives together. A lot of them will have come from divorced homes. A lot of them, frankly, are underemployed. There's a line in the story that women right now are more successful than men. And I think women are faring better than men are in the entry-level jobs in the new economy. And a lot of young men are stuck between 25 and 35, and they want to know how to get the life that they want to have. And it's increasingly difficult for them. But if you approached at that church with all these men in the pews, or I guess it's a modern church, so it doesn't have pews, all the men in the folding chairs, you could ask them, how many of you have ADHD? How many of you are struggling with employment issues? And I'll bet you a dollar there would be quite a few who fit that profile. These are men who are trying to get their lives together, and for them, that means going to church. The question is, where are women going who are actively attempting to move forward into an adult life? That includes marriage, commitment, children, and a career, even. Where are they going? And I think you'll remember, and our listeners will remember, that over the last two or three years, I have stressed to reporters that instead of just trying to find out the membership of churches, especially Catholic churches, mainline Protestant churches, churches that are kind of struggling with attendance issues, one of the things they need to be asking now is not just how many members they have, and not just how many people they have attending. Aggressively try to find out how many marriages are occurring in the churches and how many children are being baptized. And then I'll throw one more. How many converts are being baptized in those churches? And I think you'll find that right now, and this isn't the story the New York Times wants to get into, although they know it's there. They know it exists. There's a fascinating sentence, to see if I can find it real quick, scrolling down. The basic idea here is, if pro-women churches exist, why aren't there more women in them? Why are the churches that are pro-woman in the way the New York Times defines being pro-woman, why aren't those churches growing? The two things that jumped out at me, two short paragraphs. One is, about two-thirds of women ages 18 to 29 say that most churches and religious congregations do not treat men and women equally, the Survey Center on American Life found. Well, two-thirds, if you know your statistics, you know that somewhere between 20 and 30% of people in America are actively trying to practice a religious faith. So that two-thirds figure may not be all that surprising in light of that statistic that George Gallup and others have focused on for years. But here comes the other paragraph. Opening more official roles to women, though, may not win them back. Many of the largest liberal congregations that ordain women are in steep decline. And then, whoom, that just vanishes. That subject never comes back up again. In fact, I would argue that if you go online, and I did this for another reason a couple of months ago, if you go online and you look at the worship services of declining mainline Protestant churches, you'll find that they're full of women, and most of them are over the age of 55 or 60, or much older than that. So apparently we have declining churches that are full of older women but are having trouble attracting men, and those in large numbers are the liberal denominations that are kind of pro-New York Times churches. Then you have growing churches, which are attracting a large number of young men, but may be, on several issues, unpopular with lots of single women. And my own Orthodox church has whole tables full of young men that have been flocking in recent years. We don't have a corresponding number of young single women. What we do have is a lot of married couples coming in that are young, and that's a young man and a young woman, and they've decided to choose marriage, and there they are. But the question I keep asking pastors, that they should think about this, why are young men so willing to invite their friends to come to church? That's a phenomenon that's kind of buried in this story, but I guarantee you, you'd find it. Why are young men inviting all their friends to church, but young single women in the church are not? I think that would be an interesting question. You might have to ask some of the young married women for their input on that as well, because they probably would have some opinions.
So, Terry, why does Ruth Graham turn to the subject after about two printed pages and for the remainder of the story of women's ordination?
The phrase that we use a lot is that most mainstream media are not anti-religious. They are opposed to bad religion, and they are in favor of good religion. The question is, who gets to define what is good religion and what is bad religion? And the answer, of course, is the editors of the New York Times and most of their reporters. So what we have in this story is we have this mysterious thing where lots of young men are going to church. And you would think that's good, but maybe it's not, because maybe they're going to bad churches. Maybe they're going to churches that have the wrong doctrines. And then halfway into the story, it turns into a story about good religion. And that is, what are the churches that women wish existed? What are the churches that preach good doctrine? What are they? Who are they? How are they doing? And the how are they doing question only gets one sentence. If women are choosing to leave the church, why are there even fewer of the young women in the liberal churches that are preaching the doctrines that young women are supposed to want to hear than there are young women, single or married, and stress on the word married, single and young and married young women are in other churches that, according to the New York Times, have the wrong doctrine? I guarantee you, if you go to thriving churches here in the Knoxville area, here in East Tennessee, you will find a lot of young women. But you will also find that a lot of them are married. And you will find that a lot of the single women who are there are interested in their careers. These are young women who want to be a success in life, and they've to some degree heard success defined by the media and by their schools, but at the same time they equally yearn for marriage and family, and frankly they're hoping to find some young men who they think are worthy of beginning that journey together. Another question I would ask to the pastors who are interviewed on topics like this is, what are the struggles of the young men who are coming to your church? And in many cases, why are those young men not being viewed as successful enough? or perhaps they're slightly damaged in some ways in the eyes of a lot of young women today, women who've had their view of the perfect soulmate often formed by media as much as anything else. These are really complex issues, but I really think that the struggles of young men are often what's leading them into the church. Yet those are the same struggles that may make them, in some ways, unattractive to a lot of the young women who are looking for a successful, over 6 foot two, perfect example of a man who, by the way, it also wouldn't hurt if he was a feminist or something. They're looking for that image of a man, and that's not who they're meeting in church pews right now. It's a, like I said, it's a complex story, but marriage, I would argue, is the issue that haunts this New York Times story. And what kind of young men want to find marriage and be a part of a partnership in a marriage, and what kind of young women want to find a marriage to go in with the other elements of their life and then move forward. The gap that we see in culture today, one of the biggest gaps, we talked about this the other day in that podcast, the modern progressive young women are fleeing the pews. If you go down into some poll data from Pew Research, to me, one of the most interesting things were two points, and I'll repeat this. We've said this in previous podcasts. Married women favor the GOP by a narrow margin, 50 to 45, while never married women are enthusiastic Democrats by a wide margin, 72%. So Democrats are getting the single female vote, and the married vote is evenly divided or leans toward the Republicans. I'd love to see some data on the differences between married women with children and see how they sort out. But then another, if you jump down in that Pew study, you hit another statistic. Americans who live with a partner outside of marriage are much more likely to be Democrats, as well as those who are divorced. LGBTQ Americans are overwhelmingly Democrats. Okay, so people who are in relationships that don't fit the doctrines of traditional churches are overwhelmingly headed left. And those who are perhaps seeking marriage as defined in traditional religious groups, they're headed to church. So I, once again, instead of saying that women's ordination is the big story that needed to be probed in this New York Times piece, I would argue that marriage, family, and children is actually the story that's looming in the background.
So what to you would be a necessary follow-up to this piece from Graham?
Well, first of all, we get this very much through the eyes of evangelicalism. And you're dealing here with a reporter, a fine reporter, but one whose background is in kind of progressive left-of-center evangelicalism. I think they really needed to talk to some people in other traditions. Some of the most interesting things that I found when writing a pair of columns almost 2 years ago on this whole issue of what's happened to marriage, what's happened to single women in the church and young men in the church. I talked to the head of singles ministry in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. If you look at social stereotypes, if the Mormons are having trouble helping people get married and start families, I think it's safe to say that it's a culture-wide phenomena. I also think they need to talk to some Roman Catholics who are involved in this. It would also be interesting to approach some mainline Protestant churches, individual congregations that are growing. There are growing Episcopal churches, or Anglican churches, as many of them would now be called. You have one type of Methodist versus another type of Methodist. I think it would have been interesting to get outside of this evangelical paradigm that everyone is stuck in, and actually talk to some experts in some other religious traditions. I would talk to Orthodox Jewish leaders and then talk to Reform Jewish leaders, liberal versus conservative. Ask them what they're saying about marriage and family and what they're hearing from the women in their congregations. I also would say that we do know that young women today are struggling with a lot of issues, anxiety, depression, record numbers of people identifying somewhere on the various letters of the LGBTQ plus I, or is it I plus whatever, spectrum. We're seeing lots and lots of young women going there. But I think we need to be finding out whether singleness is working well for young women. Is the single vision of life, the you and your friends at the bar and you and your friends chatting about your love lives, the Sex and the City image, is that working out for young women? I think what this story leads with, and is worth exploring, a lot of young men are deciding, you know what, that view of life doesn't work for me. And a lot of those men are walking through church doors.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow on Communications and Culture at St. Constantine College in Houston, Texas. He writes Rational Sheep, a Substack newsletter for faith and mass media. He's author of the National On Religion column for the Andrews McNeil Universal Syndicate, and for two decades, he led the GetReligion.org website. Terry, thanks.
Glad to be here.
I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you next week. Thanks for listening to Crossroads with Terry Mattingly.
You've been listening to Crossroads with Terry Mattingly, a Rational Sheep podcast.